But when they go into the facilities, they always claim that they're being abused physically, mentally, emotionally. And I mean, they do the whole gamut. Every time I have been investigated, everything has been unfounded. And right now, the judge, I've been to court, the judge said that I'm a danger to these girls.
Special guest, attorney Jennifer Ani from my office. Jennifer is a true expert in CPS law. As a matter of fact, Jennifer is a, what is that special designation you earned, Jennifer? CWS or something?
CWLS, a child welfare law specialist.
Tell the audience what that means.
This is conferred by the National Association of Counsel for Children. Through the ABA, the American Bar Association. And it just, it means that I've put in the time and I have the knowledge and skills to do a great job in these cases for parents and relatives. It's a special designation, requires testing and continuing legal education as well.
Very good. Very good. So let's take another call, Jennifer. Let's talk to Crystal in California. Crystal, did you have a story to tell or a question to ask?
Hi. I have a couple questions to ask, and I'll kind of back it up with a brief description of the case.
Sure.
I was on your Facebook Live show a couple months back regarding my nephew from Fresno County. Mm-hmm. He was placed with me back in the beginning of 2000 as a newborn, and I had him for about 14 months. I live in a different county than Fresno, and then the paternal family lives in another county as well. We were all working to kind of find a permanency plan because reunification services were terminated in March of 2021. And this is kind of going along with during the whole pandemic thing. So everything was kept getting pushed forward and forward and forward, all the hearings. So the deposition hearing didn't happen until 7 months after he was taken and whatnot.
Okay.
Then after 14 months, social workers switched to the permanent, the adoption assessment social worker, and she then decided to remove him from my care and place him in a high-risk adoption, in a high-risk foster care for adoption. I filed a prospective adoptive parent and a objection to removal and a JV 180. The two prospective adoptive parents and the objection to removal were denied and sent back, stating there was not enough time. I mean, it was not the correct time because termination of rights hadn't happened yet. And then the JV 180 was dismissed without prejudice because I didn't fully explain what I wanted or what I was trying to change. So I hired an attorney and she refiled my JV 180 with requests to have him placed back with a relative because we had willing relatives, and then de facto parent status. Everything was taken to trial after I filed it in, I'll say, the beginning of June, and then it eventually went to trial in October. And at the trial, both were denied. And I'm in the process of appeal. So my questions are really based upon my appeal. Mm-hmm. First, I guess, when he was first taken, I called the ombudsman and filed a complaint. And they finally got back to me, I think in December, saying that they did a full investigation and they came to the conclusion that Fresno didn't do the placement preservation, the 1601.7. So I wanted to know if I was able to actually apply that, because they told me they can't apply anything to court cases with judges. They just go back to the department. I want to know if I can include that in my appeal.
Did you argue it at the trial court level when the judge made a decision?
I don't think it existed. I don't think it existed then. The ombudsman opinion, right? It didn't exist when you had the trial.
So it did, but it hadn't gone into full, the investigation wasn't complete until late after the decision was made in October.
Right. So just so that I'm clear, the ombudsman investigated your complaint and found that, in their opinion, Fresno County had not followed the placement preservation standards, et cetera. But that opinion, did that occur after the October 21 trial?
So that's the irony of it. So it happened in between. So I filed the complaint before he was removed. I filed the complaint in April. He was removed in May. And my original complaint was actually that they didn't give me a written 14-day notice. And then from the time I filed the complaint until December, they came up with them not actually following through with the placement preservation because they took a month to find the high-risk adoptive family. So,
right. And the opinion of the ombudsman, the ombudsman's opinion that Fresno didn't do what they were supposed to do, did that occur before the trial in October or after?
After. So it's not on the record.
Okay.
Or I can add it to the record.
So, because if any part of it existed before, then you have a responsibility to put it on the record at trial. If it comes after, it's possible to file a motion to, it's called augment the appellate record, but usually they only look, because they're only deciding on things that have happened at trial.
Yeah.
But if you have that opinion, another JV 180 seeking to modify might be appropriate. And sorry, Vincent, I didn't mean to jump in and cut you off.
Oh, no, I agree with you 100%. You should file another JV 180, another 388 petition immediately. And once the court, you know, I'm assuming will deny it, you combine those appeals when you go up to the, you know, appellate court. Let me ask you something. Did they take the child away from you because there was some type of allegation of abuse or something? Because that's highly unlikely, removing a child from a relative and placing the child with a foster home.
Yes. So their allegations were that I was doing unsupervised visits with the father by leaving him at paternal grandmother's house. But I have text messages and whatnot with the reunification social worker that okayed me to take him there for child care, and that she was in the process of being RFA approved, and she was actually already RFA approved and placement was going to be with her. And then when social worker switched, this new social worker didn't follow through with that placement or didn't agree with that placement based upon the unauthorized visit. Okay, so in that statement, they did not file a JV 387. They just removed him without giving the opportunity to me object to the removal, because I filed the objection to removal, but the clerk sent it back because they didn't. There was no removal with the courts when they removed him. And that's kind of in the record. They don't actually have my initial JV, I think it's 385. They just have a paper saying that they returned back things for not the correct timing. And then also, we had family members that were fully approved that are already foster parents and have already adopted one of their foster children, reaching out to the department. Their social worker reached out to the department multiple times, and they just
2 minutes
and kind of just pretended like it didn't happen. And I filed that with my
Let me jump in, because I just got a warning from our engineer about another break. Let me tell you some things you need to do. Number one, you need to file that 388, the new 388 that Jennifer mentioned. Number two, I hope you're working with an appellate attorney. If you're not, please do so. Please call and find one. There are some very good appellate attorneys around the state of California that handle these matters. I nominate Jennifer Ani. So call us at the office and ask us to Jennifer. The third thing that you must do, and this is just my own humble opinion, you should file a complaint with the Department of Health and Human Services and the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division about what this social worker has done or not done in this case. To me, it is so wrong for these workers to take children out of family homes and not place them with other family members if that's available. I'm not making any comment about the allegations about what you did or didn't do. You're entitled to a hearing under 366.26N, in my humble opinion. So if you want to talk to us any more about this, please call us on Monday, 888-888-6582, and we'll go more in depth about it.
Let me sneak in one comment quickly, and that is, in Fresno, most of the juvenile dependency cases are managed by a, and there's always a right to seek a ruling from a judge.
Very good. Crystal, thank you for calling. We'll talk to you in about 4 to 6 weeks. Give the audience an update on what's going on. This is The Secret, How to Fight CPS and Win, and we'll be right back after these messages.